All right. Hello, everybody. It's a bit hard to see how many there are, but I'd like to introduce you to Bharat and Anu, who are going to be talking about ozone, which seems to be your favorite topic, as I heard earlier
yes,
today.
So, absolutely.
Enjoy.
Thank you very much, Lars. Hi, all. Thank you very much for coming over and listening to us. So we are going to talk about how we ended up building an S3 interface over ozone. Basically, ozone is an object store, and S3 is the de facto protocol for object stores. But there's a little bit of backstory which I should tell you before I even start. Both me and Bharat, we work on ozone, and we work on HDFS too. So the little bit of backstory. So when we first started ozone, we wrote an S3 interface. And one of the original authors of HDFS convinced us that, that's a bad idea. An S3 interface really shouldn't be a REST interface because you can do far more things. See, an HDFS or ozone will do far more things than S3, and S3 protocol is not something that you control, so you have to invent your own protocol. So we went and invented our own protocol. And then a lot of people in the community got really upset. I remember one of the HBase committers, Andrew Portal, actually tweeting saying, why would somebody invent a new protocol? Because you're Hadoop. And, you know, there was a lot of pushback. But we held course. No, we first did S3. All the code was written. We threw it away. Then we went back, wrote an ozone REST protocol. And like, you know, we didn't want to change again. So then at some point of time, one of the finance majors came and said, we really would like to use ozone, but only if you support S3. And, you know, you don't argue with money. So that's how we did S3. And today, we have reached a point where S3 is our only REST protocol. So we're going to talk about how we made it work with all our previous decisions of how ozone works. And that is a story that we want to share with you. Okay? So, yeah, I already told you about who the speakers are. And basically, I'll take a minute to explain what ozone is in case you don't know what it is. It's basically a distributed object store. And we really want to ask ourselves, how would a new file system look like? Suppose today you're given the job to write a new file system. What would that ideal file system look like to you? And that is what we have always tried to answer with ozone. We have said, there are three things which we really worry about with ozone, which is one is correctness, other is performance, third is usability. And getting these three facts correct means that we had to make sure that we can provide strong consistency semantics like HDFS. We want to achieve great amount of scale because the biggest usability problem of HDFS has always been that you just cannot scale. And we wanted to make it much more simpler to use because HDFS really comes from a time of a different technological era with containers, with Kubernetes, with so many other things. The technological landscape in which HDFS developed and ozone develops has fundamentally changed. So this is what we have always asked ourselves as an ozone team. How would you write a modern new file system that meets the needs of the new world? So we do a lot of things, but primarily this is what the most important thing that we have always asked. And as a consequence, what we came to the conclusion was that in order to build a file system which can scale, which can perform, and which can really, really be easy for you to use, we need to cut one file system into two. That's it. If you have X amount of trouble, we just double it for you. And that is the secret of making the file systems work. So what we did basically was that we built a distributed block store first. We said, okay, it doesn't matter what you're going to build, we are just going to build a highly distributed block system. See, it's much easier to solve a problem in a block store because you don't have to worry about it. It is you just put a block, you replicate it, and that works. Once you solve that problem, now you can go and solve the other problem of, how does a file map into a bunch of blocks. So we solved it in two different layers, and as a consequence, ozone looks like this. There is a namespace layer, which is combines of the ozone manager and all that. And then there is a block layer, which is basically nothing but a highly replicated distributed block layer. Okay? So that is the big picture architecture of ozone. Now there is always a question, why S3 over ozone? Let me just be honest, right? These are all things which we put in the slides so that people can read and, you know, feel yourself intelligent. Reason, there are only two things. Object protocol war has been won. S3 has won it hands down. Okay? So if we did anything else, people will look at us and laugh. Which they did on Twitter. If you have time, you can search and you can see Andrew Porter saying, what are these guys? Are they crazy and all that? Which I completely agree. So feedback taken from the community. And also, as I said, people said, if you do S3, we'll give you money. So there is a bunch of slides where, you know, we talk about all this, but realistically, this is what it is. I want to take you through a different point of view. I just said, how would you write a file system? And this is also a way of writing the file system, where you can think of a file system as, here is a metadata layer, where there is ozone manager and there is storage container manager, because it maintains the metadata of namespace and the block space. And you can think of a data layer, which is basically highly available replicated blocks. The collection of blocks, we call them containers. A very unfortunate naming choice, my apologies. No relation to any real containers which you are familiar with. It's just a word says, hey, here's a collection of blocks. And there is a replication layer called RATIS. And then there's a protocol layer right at the top in which you can plug in different kind of protocols. This would be a logical view of how ozone would look like, because it's more of a logical description in compared to a physical description of what ozone looks like. Okay? Ozone has a bunch of semantics, which is basically very similar to S3. The only extra thing that we have is a volume, which is different from S3. I'm presuming that you guys know what S3 is, so I'm not going to dive too much into it. Okay? Is this when you could? Okay. The next part, I want you to, you know, I'm going to repeat the next part a few more times because it is kind of complicated. So think about how you would build one file system semantics on top of another file system semantics. So imagine this. You have to do NFS on top of a physical file system. So what happens is that the physical file system has a set of primitives. And let us say that NFS has a primitive, or NFS has a notion which is not present in the physical file system. Then you have to do a lot of things. For example, if the inodes were not unique, and the NFS said, oh, every file that we have is unique, then you have to go create that unique identity. Correct? Because you have to somehow mimic the basic notions of the file system that you are projecting over. So one of the premises that we made when we started working on this was that go through S3 protocol and say, can every notion of S3 be expressed natively inside the ozone world? The answer was obviously no. There was many things in S3 which ozone never thought of. So we started working on this idea that we need to bring in those notions into ozone. So that is primarily what we first did. Instead of worrying about the protocol, we said, okay, if S3 has this notion, how do we express it? So we have bucket, ozone has bucket. So that's great. Okay? Ozone has volumes, but there is no way to express that in S3. So how do you map that in S3? Okay? Oh, S3 has ACLs, ozone ACLs, but ozone's ACLs are POSIX. S3 ACLs are very weird because it has these notions called anonymous, which means that there is no user. It doesn't mean the world group. It simply says the user does not exist, which is not how POSIX works. POSIX ACLs do not express the notion called anonymity. So we need to go and build those notions in. So this was one of the biggest challenges which we faced. So we ended up defining a set of operational principles by which we can work. Okay? So we said, Every idea that we support in ozone that is present in S3 will be a native ozone entity. That is, we recognize every idea that is expressible in S3. Whereas S3 will never know about the ideas that are present in or the entities that are present inside ozone. So this led to an architectural decision that ozone is a capable of seeing the namespace and the object space of S3. That is, if you come into ozone as an ozone protocol and do a list operation, for example, you will be able to see all S3 buckets. But if you come via S3 protocol, then we only show you those buckets which has been created by S3. You know why? Because there are certain things in ozone which cannot be spoken in the language of S3. That's it, simple as that. Wittgenstein once said, that which cannot be expressed in words must be passed over in silence. So that is precisely the problem. If you have a notion called volume in the ozone world, but that doesn't exist in S3, there is no way we can show a volume to you because we don't control that protocol. So it led to this very hierarchical architecture. Well, let me repeat this again. Objects of S3 namespace is always pure. You can come, create an S3 bucket, it will only show S3 bucket. I can have an ozone volume, an S3 bucket would exist in it. When I come via S3 protocol, I will only see that bucket. If I have 10 other ozone buckets, it's not visible. Primarily because once you do that, the consequence of your action is that the client which works against ozone thinks 100% that it is working against S3. Because none of the ozone notions leak into the protocol. So all our testing, all our development, we simply work against standard Amazon tools. We just download Amazon stuff and we just run it. Okay?
I just want to add a point here. Yeah. Like in the current policy in ozone is like, because S3 doesn't have the volume notions, so what we do is when you try to create an S3 bucket, internally we map to ozone volume and ozone bucket. So that means end user doesn't know there is a ozone volume for you. But the current policy is like when you try to create a bucket with some AWS credentials, right? So what is the current policy? We take this AWS access key ID and we convert into some cryptographic, like we don't want to expose those details in the volume name. So we convert into some cryptographic name and then we map, suppose you were trying to create a bucket called Apache demo. So you're coming through a user called X. So we convert that X to some cryptographic name and whatever the bucket name you have given, we'll use the same name. Because in S3, buckets are unique, whereas in ozone, volumes are unique in the cluster.
Correct. So that's a pretty important point. Thank you. The point is that suppose you came to an ozone machine and you only had S3. You say create bucket. Would it work? The answer is yes, because our whole premise is that we would make it work for you because S3 clients need not know about the volume. So if a volume needs to be created, we would create it for you on the fly without even talking to you. So you can come via ozone and see that volume now. But if you come via S3, that volume doesn't exist. Okay, so internally we just speak about this in terms of, hey, S3 protocol is pure. Whatever S3 speaks, whatever S3 notions are, they are always pure. Whereas ozone is not very pure because ozone can see both S3 and this thing. Okay? So this captures that notion that S3 API can only see S3 objects. Ozone API can see both S3 objects and ozone objects. This is the most critical differentiation between the S3 API and ozone. If you use ozone RPC calls, you can actually iterate through every S3 bucket and every ozone bucket. If you use S3 clients from Amazon, we make sure that you only see those buckets which have been created by the S3 namespace. So we know what is the difference. So this leads to a very high fidelity experience for the users, is what we think. Okay? So S3 namespace versus the ozone namespace is primarily a very small difference because in ozone we have a notion called a volume. In S3 it is not there. So that leads to all these other differences. But you know, I've just spoken about all this. Okay? Now let us talk about the models and rules. Very consistent model. In ozone world, you can see every object in the ozone space. Everything. Whether you're S3, whether you're ozone, you see it. In ozone, in S3, you only see S3. That's it. Okay? Given this, we really want to emphasize one very important point. Okay? Ozone semantics is a strong consistency model. We take great pride. I mean, it's pretty much like HDFS. So we are slightly different from the eventual consistency model of classical S3. So when Hadoop applications work against an S3 bucket, they have to run tools like CGuard, where they record their information in a table and say, oh, okay, this is the change, this is what happened, stuff like that. So that things have all been solved. And go ahead.
Okay. Till now we have seen like S3 notions and how we map these things into S3, like ozone notation to into S3 notations. Now let's see what are the ways we can access an ozone cluster. As now we started S3 protocol support on top of ozone, like we can use S3 API. Or you can use any AWS CLI tool and you can talk to the ozone cluster. Or you can use AWS SDK, or like depending on your favorite programming language, Python, Java, Go, or whatever language it is. You configure the endpoint URL to ozone cluster URL, which is S3 gateway URL, and you can talk to the ozone cluster. Or if you're an advanced user, you can use directly native ozone RPC client to get the better performance because you're using directly RPC stuff. Like for Hadoop compatible file system, we have two file systems because there is S3A file system, which is a basically S3 clients to talk to S3 server. Now we have one more file system called Ozone file system, which uses this Ozone native RPC client. So if we are running applications like Spark, Hive, Yarn, MapReduce jobs, it is better to use Ozone file system because it uses the native Ozone RPC client, whereas S3A file system uses this HTTP protocol. Like the simple difference, we can take an example like if you do list operation, like in S3, it does a head bucket, whether it exists or not, and then do list. But if you use Ozone file system directly, it uses the native RPC method like list buckets, and you can get the result. So it's recommended to use Ozone file system when you're using S3 overall. Okay. Like, we'll see, like, till now we have talked about the notions of volume and bucket. Now we'll see how Ozone security concepts or Hadoop security concepts are mapped into S3 security concepts. Like, first we'll understand how Ozone security works. In Ozone, authorization is achieved through Kerberos and delegation tokens. Like, if you're a client or application, you'll authenticate via your Kerberos credentials to the Ozone manager. Once you are authorized, like, you can get a token from the Ozone manager. Like, there are two kinds of tokens. One is delegation token and one is block token. Delegation tokens are used if you're doing any metadata operations, like you are trying to create a bucket or creating a volume, like you need a delegation token over there. If you're talking to, like if you're doing a read path, like you're trying to create a key or read key, you need a delegate block token. So if you see here in application, when it is talking to data node, it uses the block token for validation. Even the same way. For MapReduce task, we'll be using this delegation token to authenticate to Ozone manager, block token for this Ozone data nodes. The one main difference between the Hadoop security and Ozone security is like the tokens are not using the shared secret concept like in Hadoop. So in Ozone, the security is through certificate based architecture. Like as Anu said, like we have a storage container manager which manages these containers and the blocks. So when it starts as a CA root. When all other daemons in the Ozone start, they send a certificate signed request and they get the certificate. So that means that when data node wants to validate the token, what it does is it contacts the SCM and gets the public certificate and it validates the token. That is the main difference between the Hadoop token validation and Ozone token validation. Let's see the S3 security, like how we can get the credentials. Like if you are AWS S3, like what you will do is you will go to your Amazon console and you will log in with your root user credentials and go to security base and get the S3 credentials, which is your access key and access secret. Or like if you are having a big organization, there will be admin user with Rod, and he will be creating the IAM users, and he will be providing you an access to get the credentials, or he will be providing you the admin will be providing you the credentials. So like we want to have, as Anu said, like we want to have a first class experience of S3 or Ozone. So what we have done is, because in Hadoop world, authentication is done via Kerberos. So user authenticates via his Kerberos ticket, and then if authentication is successful, like he will be connecting to Ozone manager and get the credentials. Like suppose like a test user has logged in. For the test user, we'll be generating access key and access secret, and we have this mapping in the Ozone manager for validation purposes. Like how you can get the S3 credentials. Like user runs a command. We don't have an UI to get the credentials. Like it's a command-based tool. Like user runs this command called ozone S3 get secret. It will authenticate, like you need to do it, like as seen in the example, you will do a knit with your credential, like Kerberos ticket, and then run the command. It will be giving you the access key and access secret, which you will be configuring via AWS CLI, or you are writing the programs. This is the secret, access key and secret, which we'll be using to talk to the Ozone cluster. Okay, now let's see, like you have seen, right, in S3 security, like authentication is done via shared secret concept, because now it generates a secret which is known to the client and server. But whereas in Hadoop world, authentication is done via Kerberos and the delegation tokens. So the diagram shown here is like, this is the basic AWS algorithm which is used for validating the signature which you have passed. So what it will do is, like when you submit a request, like suppose you are submitting a request called create bucket, it will select a few elements from each request. Those are called string to sign, and it will be generating a signing key from your access secret. Whatever the string to sign and whatever we have generated in the step two, it will be creating a signature. Like signature is nothing but HMAC. It uses HMAC algorithm with hex encoding. So now, like how we map this shared secret concept into delegation token, what we have done is, when security is enabled in Ozone, like when S3 gateway receives any kind of request, what it will do is it parses the authentication header, and it will get this access key ID, signature, and the string to sign. With this, we try to create a token, which will be used by the Ozone manager for authentication. Here, like S3 gateway is like a stateless server for us. It is not doing any authentication. Like Ozone manager is doing the authentication for us. Like this is the algorithm. This is the approach which we have taken for token validation. Like these are core classes in the Ozone. Like when the token is submitted, like there is a delegation token manager which it try from the access key. It tries to get the secret from the secret manager. There is a header validator. What it do is, like, for now we got a secret from the token. We have access key ID and secret. Like it will be using the previous algorithm, and it will be computing the signature. If the signature matches, it will be allowing authentication. If it denies, it will say invalid token.
In short, I just want to say one thing. We do S3 protocol security to the dot. Whatever you do in S3, your S3 clients will be secure. It just works. Okay? Just trust us on this.
These are the APIs which are supported in Ozone till now. Like for bucket operations, we have completely supported all the operations. For object, we have completely supported all operations like put, get, multi-part, upload, head object, list, delete multiple objects.
Yeah, one very important thing in this slide is that S3 protocol is far larger than this. It's a humble way of saying this is what we have done. There is far more, including things like copy object, which we have not gotten to. We will eventually get to it as more people use it. But, you know, generally when we say this is what we have supported, what you should see is what we have not done yet. Okay? Yeah.
Okay. Now we'll see like how S3 gateway deployment should be on a production clusters. Like as I said, S3 gateway is a simple HTTP stateless server, which is not very CPU or memory intensive demand. Like, so to achieve scale, what we are recommending is like S3 gateway server should be deployed on like all the data nodes on the cluster, because it's not very CPU intensive demand. So to achieve scale, what we can do is like S3, like all S3 clients, we can distribute the workload across these multiple S3 gateway servers. For this, we need a load balancer scheme. So we have not implemented any software load balancing scheme. So like right for now, the recommendation is like if the customer is already having a different kinds of load balancer in their cluster, they can be using the same load balancer and configure the S3 gateway server back to it. Or like you can use a HA proxy load balancer, or if you have a DNS configuration setup, you can use DNS load balancing scheme. Or if Ozone cluster is deployed on a Kubernetes cluster, you can use K8's load balancing scheme. At the end of this demo, I'll be showing an example of HA proxy load balancer with multiple S3 gateway servers.
So I want to make one point here. So if you are an old HDFS user, for the longest time, we struggled with NFS. Because, see, a lot of people assume that to bring data into the system, you need something like NFS. Ozone always says S3 is the new NFS. Because there are thousands of tools out there. Okay, they all work against Ozone. You have pretty much got a protocol parity. And here is the best part. We don't have the limitations of NFS, because in HDFS NFS, we would set up one machine. We would write files locally, because, you know, HDFS is non-editable. Then we would do a port, and all those complicated things was done. With S3, we have solved all that problem. So if you really have a lot of customers who want to just copy data without needing to know the complexities of HDFS or of Ozone, just tell them, go to Amazon, download S3 client, and just put files, okay? We guarantee you that if you have 1,000 data nodes, all 1,000 data nodes will participate in this job. It'll be highly parallel. So that gateway problem that HDFS used to have is virtually solved by this. And this is also a protocol which is as popular as NFS. Even if you're not in the cloud, S3 is a very de facto protocol. Thousands of tools support it today. So that is actually a great power. That this figure is actually showing you that S3 gateway can actually run on every data node if you want it, and you run whatever load balancing you want. Okay? Yeah.
So in this example, as Anu said, like we have a HA proxy which is started, and it is backed by multiple S3 gateway servers. So with the previous slide, we have a problem, right? If HA proxy is down, that means we'll not be able to talk to our Ozone S3 cluster. So like this is another thing, like where we have virtual IP, which is backed with multiple HA proxy servers, which talk to S3 gateway cluster. Even if one of the HA proxy is down, still we'll be able to talk to our S3 cluster. So it's kind of high availability. In Hadoop world, we have seen there are many features are coming, but to try out the features, it will be very tedious, because you need to read the documentation and you need to set up the configuration in XML file, and then you need to start the clusters. So what we have done in the Ozone is, whenever a new feature is developed, we have a Docker Compose cluster. Like suppose now we have a S3 over Ozone, so we have a Ozone S3 Docker Compose cluster. You can try it out. Like if you have Docker installed, just do Docker Compose up. Go to Ozone S3 folder, do Docker Compose up, you have Ozone S3 cluster. Like if you want to try out Ozone security, like we have Ozone Secure cluster, which talks all the Ozone S3, all the Ozone daemons, like you have a Kerberos cluster, like Ozone Kerberos cluster. So we have made it simple so that it will be friendly for the users to try out Ozone features. Like as you see, this screenshot is taken from our Torvald. Like if you see here, we have like different kinds of Docker Compose cluster. Like for Ozone S3, we have Ozone S3, like Ozone Secure, like Ozone Secure MR. Right now, HA is in work, so even for that, we have a Ozone OM HA cluster. Okay.
So we were not sure if our internet connectivity would work correctly.
Yes.
So to prevent any non-working demos, we have recorded videos for you. We're going to run them in the background, or actually run them slowly, but we'll fast forward it. We'll actually upload it to YouTube, so you can see it in slow, because most of them take 9-10 minutes, so we'll just go fast to just show you that these things work. But the most important takeaway thing for you is that this is not a slideware. It actually works. So, and we also have the capability to say S3A file system, which is what Hadoop support for S3. That file system, which is what people use when they run in cloud, that file system works completely against this on-prem implementation. So pretty much if you're a Spark user and you want to run your Spark job in cloud and then bring it back home with Ozone, it's perfectly possible.
Yeah. As Anu said, all these demos which we are showing is like which is run on the Docker Compose cluster, which is in the release tarball. Like, if anyone is interested, you can download the tarball from Hadoop, Apache, or Ozone website, and you can try out these scenarios. So, in this, I'm showing like AWS CLI, which talks to Ozone S3 cluster. Just I'm bringing up my Ozone S3 cluster. If you see here, it started OM, SCM, data node, and S3 gateway. I'm just scaling up my data nodes to 3 so that it can run in replication factor with 3.
And just in case if somebody missed that, when we say AWS CLI, it means that Amazon wrote that code. We did not.
Yes.
Okay. That is this demo. Amazon's code working against us.
Just I'm installing AWS CLI on one of the Docker containers. It's a Ozone secure cluster, so I'm just doing knit with my test user credentials.
Yeah, so this was the part where he was earlier explaining that the fact that we have a Kerberos cluster, and from Kerberos, we map you to an Amazon key and an AWS key. So when I first connect with this get secret command, we actually generate it.
Yes. Okay, as I was saying, like here, this is the command which Ozone S3 get secret. If you see access key, it is nothing but your Kerberos username, like test user, like principal name. And this is the secret which we have generated for that particular Kerberos.
So at this point, inside the Ozone manager, we have created a mapping from that username to an access key so that we can now, when an access key comes in, we can verify that you are that user and map you back to UGI. That's what we are doing.
Just I'm trying to create a bucket. It has written me the location. I'm trying to list buckets operation. Like in this demo, I'm showing what all the APIs which we have supported in Ozone. Like I'm trying to put an object, then trying to list objects. I'll try to get an object which I have just uploaded to the Ozone cluster. I just uploaded a Ozone.xml. Just if I get it, I have the same thread. Just like as I said, like Ozone supports this multi-part upload. If you have a very big file, you can upload in parts. Like that's for the multi-part upload. Just I'm trying to initiate a multi-part upload for a key called MPU key. It has written me with upload ID, so which I'll be using during my uploading my parts. Just happened. So I'm uploading part one. Like in this example, I'm just uploading two parts and I'll merge those parts and we can see the key exists in Ozone.
The Uber point is that even though we are typing out Amazon S3 or Ozone S3 client, that is to avoid typing this whole minus host name
yes,
all the
yes.
time. It's just an export.
Yes. Like we have created an alias command. Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yes.
The only difference is that we have just told them instead of going to US West 1, go to this endpoint. That is really the only difference.
Yes. Like I'm just S3 multi-part upload has a limitation. Like for each part should be at least 5 MB, except the last part. So I'm just creating it in 10 MB files. Like I have uploaded these two parts. I'll try to complete. Like last step is complete multi-part upload. What it does is it merges those two parts into a single key. Okay, it has been merged. Now when I list my keys in the bucket, I should see the MPU key. You can see this MPU key, which like each part I have uploaded around 10 MB, so it's 20. In this demo, what I'll be showing is like I'll be starting multiple S3 gateway servers, and I have installed like HA proxy load balancer, which will be backing those S3 gateway servers. So that means I'm distributing the workload across these multiple S3 gateway servers. This is also a Docker Compose cluster, which we have, like when you release that Ozone tarball, you'll be having this. So you can try it, this feature too.
This demo is actually important if you are one of those people who have actually struggled with HDFS as an FS implementation, and if you are willing to move over
like,
to S3
API. As you can see, like I have three S3 gateway servers, which I named S3, G1, G2, G3. I'll bring up this cluster now. I brought this cluster with logs so that we can see like whether it is redirecting to different S3 gateway servers or not. Just like I'm trying to create an alias command, which Anu just spoken about. Like we are talking to this Ozone cluster. Like here in the endpoint URL, I'm giving my host name. Like I'm trying to create some three buckets. Then we can see like whether. Like if you see here, like each and every request has been went into three different servers. I just use simple round robin scheme. So like first S3 create bucket has gone to S3 G1, second one to later three. In this,
So this part of the demo, we are using an internal tool called Cloudera Manager. We just want to show you that our integration with Cloudera Manager is also complete. Internal as in, it is used by my company. It's not part of standard Apache, but it's open source. It's not an Apache tool. So go ahead.
Like, this is a Cloudera Manager Ozone cluster. Like, what I have done is, like, we have seen, like, I have three S3 gateway servers, three Ozone data nodes, Ozone Manager, Recon, S3 gateway servers. Like, as I'm showing this Hive demo, I have Hive setup. Actually, this demo is not with Docker Compose clusters. This is all with bare metal cluster, which is managed by the Cloudera Manager. So in this demo, what I'll be showing is like I'll try to create a bucket. On that bucket, we'll be trying to create a table and data. We'll see whether Hive works with Ozone or not. Like that's what I want to show you. Actually, this is the command which, because like Ozone file system understands this bucket and volume notion. So when you try to use AWS tool, you try to create a bucket, right? We need the, like our O3FS URL is o3fs:// bucket.volume. But when you try to use S3 and try to create a bucket, we internally create a volume for you. So like this is the command which user need to be used, like Ozone S3 path and give the bucket name, which will give you Ozone O3FS URL. So this is the O3FS URL, like which as I said, like o3fs:// bucket.volume. I just logged into Hive Shell. I'm trying to create a database on the O3FS path. Like my bucket name is a Hive1Ozone, so I have.
Please note that the only difference here from a traditional HDFS is that we just said O3FS. Otherwise, there is no difference. It's just standard Hive binaries.
Yes. I created a database. Just now I want to use, I'm just using Hive, that database. I just try to create a simple table with two rows, which are just integers. I'll try to insert some data into the table. Okay, it has been inserted. Let me insert one row. Okay, now just I'm doing select star from the table. That's it. Now I'll try to list objects. So that means we should see the data which is created by Hive on the ozone. So just if you see, like, it has all the data which we just created through Hive, which is on ozone path, which I just used. So in the next demo, just I want to show is we'll try to create a bucket and volume, and we ingest one file, and we'll be running a MapReduce job on that. Like for this demo, I'm using the Docker Compose cluster, which is as part of the tarball.
Yeah, just run it for full. Oh. So this one, most people understand. So we have 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
We'll run this demo, just go, because it's going to run for 6 minutes. There is no sound there, but, you know, I hope that you trust us that it all works, okay? At this point, we have shown you enough demos. So let it run in the background. You have any questions for us, this would be a good time to talk.
Yes.
And, you know, anything that we can answer, any questions, so because, you know, we don't want to run all the way down and then give you 2 minutes. So this would be a good time to talk to us if you have any questions. Yeah.
Why is it that we are, referring the path as bucket.volume instead of in the hierarchical approach of volume.bucket? I mean, it may be a trivial question, but yeah.
Should I take it? So the reason why, even though we are doing an S3, yeah. So the question was that in the second demo, while showing the demo, we were talking about S3, but when accessing that particular bucket through Hive, we said, give a path with volume, bucket, and this thing. And S3 doesn't have a volume, so why would I have a volume in that command? The reason was that we used a protocol called Ozone File System Protocol. And Ozone File System Protocol is based on RPC. So traditionally and naturally, it's faster than doing an HTTP access. So what we were trying to illustrate, which is a great point that you noticed it, that you can create an S3 bucket. And remember, we were talking about the earlier model that everything in S3 is visible in Ozone. So you can create an S3 bucket and come via an Ozone file system into an S3 bucket. You could have used an S3 file system. In that case, you would have actually given only a bucket, because that is what the S3 semantics is. So since we were trying to use a native RPC system to make things go faster, we thought that's a better approach. So that is what. So in between, there's a command.
Yeah.
There are two commands that we wrote. One command which is, give me my secrets. Another command which is, here is an S3 path on Ozone. What is the Ozone path? These are the only two extra commands that we have supported from Ozone's point of view. So that command was run, so we could get that and then just use OS3FS.
I'm just thinking of that, like, can Ozone have the information about the how they created the volume name. So if somebody keep only bucket information, can they infer by default that what will be the possible volume name?
Yes, yes. We can. The way we do it is like this. Suppose I, as a new engineer, come and give a bucket name. Then what we do is that we first look at this user, and he must have a credential, right, to get to this bucket. So when we look at that user's credential, we know, and he has already given us a bucket name. So we go to that user's bucket, and we go look at it, and we find out what is that person's bucket. Okay. So one subtle difference between S3 and ozone is the fact that S3 buckets are unique across the space. In the ozone world, what we have done is that it is unique per user. Okay, but so our hope is that, look, you have no idea. In S3, when you use, what happens is that suppose you go and create a bucket called Anu. Okay, suppose you ended up creating it first and I don't. The only error I get is that bucket exists. So in the ozone world, we made this choice that the space that you see, because you really don't see this space, like it's a kind of a design choice which is hard to understand as a user from S3, because all you get is an error saying bucket name exists. So we said a bucket name exists in your namespace. So that is what we did. So when you come in as a certain user and you say this is the particular bucket that I want to access, we let you just use that. Okay? We, however, have... So essentially from that particular model, when you come in, we translate you and we find out the volume mapping. And that is how we do that.
Yeah, so that's my question, is because that volume name looks like the infar number. So using my access key key, right? So do I need to explicitly give that type it there? Or you guys I can give the bucket that in meaningful name, Anu, and you can get whatever my key information.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, like when you try to create a bucket, when you are submitting a request, means it has the authentication header, right? If you see, like when I do AWS configure, I'm giving my access key and secret. So when you try to create a bucket, so what the client does is it creates this authentication header, like, oh, this is the signature, this is the access key, and this is your string to sign. So when that request comes, I get this access key and I will convert to some crypto, like which is not understandable format, and try to create a volume. So that means from your access key, I'm trying to create a volume. Because access key is unique for each and every user.
I got it. Create part of my notebook is not my question. My question is when I'm referring listing.
Even when your list, any request you submit from S3 authentication header, I can get your access key.
Exactly.
So if I get your access key, we have an internally mapping, like, oh, for this bucket, this is the volume name and this is the bucket name. So any request you submit, we can get your access key, right? From this access key, we can get the volume name.
That's actually what I'm suggesting too. So I do not need to give the whole path, like this is my bucket dot.
Oh, okay. Correct. No, you don't want to give that detail. Okay.
No, I understand what you're saying. You're saying that URL which we are putting, does it need all this information, because you can just as well put the access key and that mapping can be done so that it is easier to, the UI experience is better.
Exactly.
So let me just be very honest here, okay? This, what we showed you as a demo, will probably change because Sanjay hates this whole URL bunching scheme, and he has been making this very same argument, okay? We have not gotten there because this is what we wrote and it's in the system. So it will probably get changed to something. Because Sanjay has a very strong opinion, just like you. He has been telling me, change this.
Yeah.
Just because I live in Seattle, I've been hiding. So Sanjay has not been able to catch hold of me and say, do that.
But if you're using S3 file system, you don't need to give. Because we are using Gojo. But as Anu said, like we have some discussions going on.
I think that you guys are in the right track.
No, so yeah, we still this is an internal debate that we've been having about what is the right URI representation when we use an ozone file system.
Yeah.
And it probably will get changed because Sanjay has extremely strong opinion. So any other questions, comments?
When you're running behind a load balancer like HA Proxy, can you configure the system to send redirects for non-metadata calls? So, for example, can you distribute file uploads directly to other endpoints and not have them go through the proxy?
You certainly can do that because if you know the endpoint, the reason why we want an HA Proxy is that you have 1,000 machines. And if you're a user, you don't want to learn the address of 1,000 machines. But even if you have HA Proxy, you can hit any of them machines directly, and it'll just work. The HA Proxy is to just so that you can give your customers or your users one address where all S3 exists.
Right. What I'm asking is, if I'm coming in as a user, I hit the HA Proxy endpoint, I say, I want to upload a file. can the gateway be configured to say, yes, please go to this other server outside of HAProxy to do that? That way you can distribute your bandwidth and not have to go all the way, not have to push all your uploads through a single endpoint.
Sorry, Craig, can you just repeat the scenario?
So if you run everything through HAProxy, you've got a single NIC that everything's going to be traversing, and so you've got limited bandwidth there. If you've got a 1,000 node cluster and one endpoint, that's going to become a bottleneck.
Okay. So the thing is that HAProxy is not sitting in your data path. Suppose you make a request. What HAProxy is going to return to you is a 303, please go to that machine. So when the 303 handshake is done, that redirect is done, that is when the actual this thing is going to happen.
Okay, perfect. So it's not actually proxying, it's redirecting.
Yeah, so I mean, perfect. There are very many ways. So there are many kind of So as I said, we believe in bring your own proxy or a load balancer. The standard implementation of an HAProxy is to basically say round robin or whatever, where the proxy is not sitting in your data path. Because if it is, then it won't scale at all because you are back to the NFS problem, where your thousands of clients want to write to thousands of data nodes, and if there is one machine sitting in between, it just doesn't work, which is what happened in HDFS. So the only reason we bring in that proxy, it's actually just a product name, HAProxy. It's not really a proxy. It's a load balancer. So let me just use the right word. The load balancer just tells the client, go to this machine or go to that machine. And this is precisely how S3 works. This is precisely how Azure works. They all do the same thing. There is an edge node which tells you, okay, go to this machine or go to that machine. Otherwise, it cannot scale to with the this thing, user, number of users.
So the default behavior of something like HAProxy is to actually process it in the data path. You would have to actually send an explicit redirect from the service saying, okay, yes, you're allowed to access it. Here's a node you should go to for subsequent requests.
Not completely in the data path. It looks like it's in the data path because before you put a file, right, you have to get the location of the machine. So when the first request comes here, there's a cost. You're absolutely right. There's a cost. But what we are thinking is that it gets amortized over the cost of putting the data because, you know, you're actually doing two network hops because you are actually being sent to another machine. You know, maybe there is more efficient load balancers which might not have that problem. Or, see, the problem really is that if the clients could learn all the addresses of all data nodes and just randomly pick one, it would have solved the problem. But unfortunately, that is not the way S3 client works. So we just say, okay, we have no control over the client. It's a published protocol. It is written by another person. So that is why this load balancer has to be placed so that when you have 1,000 S3 gateways, they all work. Fundamentally, S3 gateway is stateless. And if you, suppose you have a high throughput application and it knows that it needs to go to a certain data node, you can just hard code it. It'll just work.
Excellent. Any other questions? No, in that case, thank you very much.
Thank you all. And thank you. Very nice. Thank you. Bye-bye.